Good to welcome you this morning to this worship service. We're glad that you've come. I see not very many of you remembered what I suggested to you 2 weeks ago, do you? Anybody remember? Supposed to sit somewhere else. Yeah, that's right. Nobody did it, did they? Some of you weren't here. Oh, Carol did. There you go. Carol did. All right. All right. We'll give you one more Sunday. How's that? We'll give you another Sunday if we can remember that far. Amen. We welcome you and those who are joining us by Facebook. We're glad that you're joining us today. One noted that when God permits his children to go through the furnace, he keeps his eye on the clock, his hand on the thermostat. Interesting, isn't it? And as Brother Ravi's read to us this morning in the book of James, I invite you to turn with us there. As you do, I just want to note to you that as the musician tightens the strain on the violin strings, yet is careful not to snap them asunder, but only to secure a sweeter melody and better accord, so God, through affliction, makes his own people more perfect instruments for his service here and in the life to come. We don't understand many times why we need to go through the trials and the test of life. James tells us in his book, for some reasons, and I encourage you to read the book of James. Perhaps it might be wise for you just to read a few verses at once, or perhaps if you want to, you can read it all at once. The Lord willing, we're going to be speaking to you from this book for a few times. James, of course, was the half-brother of Jesus. He's considered the author of the book. Interesting, he grew up with Jesus and they had the same mother. Interesting, isn't it? He would have known Jesus as a young person. I grew up in a family of four boys. I was the youngest of four boys and I only have one brother left now. So I know a little bit about what it's like to have a family and to enjoy that time. And Jesus here was a part of James, and James and Jesus were brothers. One wrote about James, he said he was holy from his mother's womb, that he abstained from wine and strong drink, and he ate no flesh. He only, with the priest, was permitted into the holy place in the temple, and he was often found there upon his knees, begging forgiveness for Israel. Is it any wonder then today that he is known for his calloused knees after spending so much time on them in prayer? Of course, the book of James was written somewhere between the years of 45 and 63 A.D. History seems to indicate that he nor his brother Jude believed Jesus was the Son of God until after the resurrection. You know, as brothers, we would think, you know, no, he can't be the Son of God. He wouldn't be God. No such thing would have happened in my family or your family, right? But James and Jude realized that after Jesus arose from the grave, he was fulfilling prophecy. He wrote to all Christians everywhere. He discusses at least five different topics, including temptation or trials, the rich and the poor, faith and works, the use and the abuse of the tongue, and patience and prayer. Interesting insight is given to us by James on the practicality of Christianity, or how it works in a practical way. You know, we can talk about a lot of theological differences or theological ideologies, but James is the kind of person that puts it into practice. He helps us to understand what it means, how to apply it in a practical way. In a day when our world is looking for something that is real, James shows us how it will work for us in our daily lives if we will but follow the Scripture. Interesting, isn't it? Following the Word of God. Again, I want to read to you in the book of James chapter 1, the same verses that our brother read to us earlier. He said, I, James, and I'm reading from a modern translation, I, James, am a slave of God and the Master Jesus, writing to the 12 tribes scattered to kingdom come. Hello. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that you're under pressure. Your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you will become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. The reason, why do we have trials and tests? James is telling us it isn't a matter if we have trials and or persecutions and tests, but when we have them, because they are a part of life. They are universal. They are inevitable. They're unavoidable. They're going to come. You see, God often uses them to bring us to Himself. As we look back through the Bible, we find that Jonah didn't want to do what God had asked him to do. But after he had taken a whale of a ride, he was obedient, wasn't he? He was willing. Moses climbed Mount Sinai 2 times to get the 10 commandments. He led the children of Israel out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. But the sad part is he spent 40 years in the wilderness because of their disobedience. Do you know this morning how long it really took, would have taken if the children of Israel had been obedient and they could have crossed the wilderness in a matter of a few weeks? 1 million people or more, perhaps 1.5 million people could have crossed the wilderness in a matter of a few weeks. Yet because of their disobedience, God said, I'm going to let you go round and round in a sense. Elijah, who is mentioned in James chapter 5, climbed Mount Carmel. He overseen the killing of 400 Baal prophets and ran on foot ahead of King Ahab's chariot before the rain came. He was running from Jezebel, Ahab's wife. He was scared to death even after he had seen 400 Baal prophets destroyed. Paul went through many trials and tests. Again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we read these words. Are there servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder than been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false prophets. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked, and we think we have it hard. He went through more than most people ever, or a group of people would ever go through. And yet the best example that's found in the Bible is, of course, Jesus Himself. In the book of Matthew, chapter 4, we read where He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and He was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan. Do you know this morning, though, that He overcame Satan in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was tempted by Satan and he suffered physically and mental strain? In Luke chapter 22, we find that the scripture says he sweat as if drops of blood. Most of us haven't had that kind of agony in our lives, I have a feeling. Yet he willingly gave his life on the cross of Calvary for us. Aren't you glad this morning that he did? That he desires to help us as we go through the trials and tests of life and know that he has an answer? He is the answer. He's the one who will see us through if we'll but learn to trust Him and lean on Him. You see, beloved, God may use trials and tests to test our faith, which is the truthfulness and the dependability of God and a commitment to the person and the will of Christ. If we have untested faith, it is very likely unsure faith. Untested is often unsure. Isn't it wonderful this morning that God may use these to develop our perseverance or patience? Passively, perseverance is the stick-to-itiveness or holding steady under pressure. Actively, it's the ability to turn obstacles into stepping stones. And then we wonder, why, God, Did you allow me to go through these tests and trials? Why am I suffering? Why am I being put through these things? Secondly, we notice that we are to rejoice in our trials and tests. It's not easy to rejoice if we're going through them. But James said in verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of any kind. Too often it seems we say, what did I do to deserve it? Some people are not too concerned with life right now. Their blood pressure is low and their bank account is high. What would it be if these two were reversed? The power of the next trial may be great. We read in Luke chapter 10, verse 30, that the man on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho fell into the hands of robbers. We do not know what a day may bring forth, do we? Probably a good thing we don't, right? Probably a good thing. But we never know. But we can, if we keep the right attitude, we can face the trial, the test, which comes with God's help. Not with our own strength or our own power. Paul wrote again to the church at Philippi. In chapter 4, he said there again in the New Living Translation, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you're considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which succeeds beyond anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. We may not understand all that we know and comprehend it, but we're to rejoice in the Lord and be happy, be glad, be thankful. You say, Pastor, that's easier said than done. I know. I know what it's like. I've been there too. We all have. But what are the results from trials and tests? Again, we read in verse 4, perseverance must finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Not lacking in anything. James is saying, testing yields perseverance or patience, and perseverance, if permitted to flower, produces a holy character. Some say of their trials and tests, if God could stop it, then why doesn't He? You ever heard somebody say that to you? Why would God allow this to happen? Why would God allow that to happen? He knows what He's doing. You see, beloved, this morning, He allows things to happen in our lives which are for our good and for His glory. He knows exactly what we need. And sometimes He allows us to go through those situations to bring glory and honor to His name. God desires us to become like His Son Jesus. He wants us to become mature, perfect, to be complete without blemishes and to lack nothing in our relationship to Him. In order for this to happen, we must let perseverance or patience do its work in us, through us, by us, around us, above us, beyond us. He knows exactly what He's doing. Aren't you glad this morning? Do you ever stop to think that God has a plan for the butterfly? For a long time it is confined in its prison. Then when it's prepared, it emerges lovely and beautiful. Many times we want God to get us out of the mess we're in, but He often wants to keep us right where we are for our enjoyment, endurance, and enlargement. Do you ever ask God to enlarge your faith? And then you wonder why you have trials and tests. Do you pray for patience? I encourage you not to do that because you're going to get more trials and tests. And yet, we need patience, don't we? All of us. Jesus said to His disciples in Matthew chapter 10, all men will hate you because of Me, but he who stands firm or endures to the end will be saved. Aren't you glad? It's a matter sometimes of endurance. Sometimes it's you feel like saying, well, what's the use? Why should I serve God? Folks, it's not easy sometimes, but it will be worth it in the end. Praise His name. Paul wrote to the church in Rome and he said, "We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us." God knows exactly all about us. He desires to meet our needs. He desires to help us when we love Him. A young man had worked for years to establish himself as a peach grower and had invested all his all in the small peach orchard, which bloomed bountifully. It really bloomed. It was great. Then came the frost. He didn't go to church the next Sunday, nor the next. His minister went to hunt him up, and he inquired the reason. The discouraged young fellow exclaimed, "No, and what is more, I'm not coming anymore. Do you think I could worship a God who loves me so little that He would let the frost kill all my peaches?" The old minister looked at him for a moment in silence and then replied kindly, "Young man, God loves you better than He does your peaches. He knows that while your peaches do better without frost, it's impossible to grow the best men without frost. His object is to grow the best men, not peaches." Ouch. God knows what's best. Andre Crouch, who's now passed on, wrote, "I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to make me strong. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word." Folks, that's beautiful. That's true. We're going to have the trials and the tests of life. The question that we need to ask ourselves is, are we trusting and allowing God to help us, guide us, direct us? Most of us here have been through many of them. But I want to tell you, Jesus said, "He who endures," as I said to you earlier, "he who endures to the end will be saved." It's not a 100-meter run. It's not a 100-mile run. It's to the end. Where Paul said, "I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. There's in store for me a crown of righteousness." But it's not till we've come to the end. It's not until we've endured. It's not until God is done with us. Tell you what, He knows what He's doing. He's never failed us. Has He ever failed you? Oh, you might be able to say, "Well, I failed Him many times, so have I." But I want to tell you this morning, He will never fail us. Praise His name. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, again, we pause in Your presence today. We thank You for the privilege of preaching Your Word and sharing that which we feel You would have us to share today. We ask Your blessings upon each home and upon each family, upon each person who has come today or has joined us by Facebook. And we ask that You would encourage those who are not able to be with us today. Would You touch them? Would You minister to them? Would You meet their needs? Would You help them to know that You are there, that You will help them and guide them and direct them as they allow You to do it? Dismiss us now from this service, but not from Your presence. May You go before us. May You guide us. May You direct us. May You help us, Lord, to continue to trust You and believe You and allow You to guide and direct in all that we do, in all that we say, that we might bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus. For it's all in His wonderful, matchless, marvelous, fantastic, glorious name that we ask and pray it. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. Don't forget next Sunday. See if you can make a change. Amen. God bless you.